Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you. We're going to be rebroadcasting our program from this afternoon, Conspiracy of the Prophets with John Murray. So stay tuned. Here we go. We're back up and running. And I want to welcome my guest, John Murray, the pastor of Tree of Life Christian Fellowship in Nanticoke, Pennsylvania. And he has a new book, Conspiracy of the Prophets. And we're going to be talking about that today. So, John, welcome.
God bless you. It's good to be with you. This is a good sign that we're having opposition for people to hear.
Yeah, amen. Amen to that. But what is the conspiracy of the prophets?
Well, it's basically taken from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, I believe it is. And I think it starts around verse 25, thereabouts. And what it has to do with it, it says that there is a lion. The scripture distinctly teaches that there is a lion. And we know from the book of Peter that the devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so there's a picture that with the message of false prophets that there is a lion. It says in verse 25 of Ezekiel, there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, in the midst of the temple, and it's like a roaring lion that is ravening the prey, and it's devouring souls. And they have taken the treasure and the precious things of God away from the church and made many widows in the midst. So that's a very powerful scripture.
Wow. That is a powerful scripture.
And that conspiracy of the prophets, the false prophets that brought about Israel's demise into going to Babylon, those same exact spirits are with us today, and except the Babylon that we're going into is the Babylon of Revelation 17 and 18, but there's a mystery Babylon that has to do with the spiritual life of the church, and then there's the commercial Babylon that has to do with the economic climate of the global government.
Yeah, that sounds very, very true. I want to let people know, of course, this is a live call-in program, and I see that we do have a call, and I just wanted John to introduce his book a little bit. So I will take this call, and also if anybody else wants to call in, it's 914-338-1638. Hello, caller. Hello, caller. Oh, well, can't hear the caller. Anyway, I'm going to put the caller on hold. All right. Go ahead, John.
And where would you like me to go ahead to? Just
now,
kind of give a little review of the book?
Yeah. Also,
that will only take about 8 hours.
It was a little very interesting to me that the two teachers you were talking about, the two false prophets, and I'm very interested to know about that.
Okay. Well, I deal the two main – I touch other ones, but the two main ones that we get – exposing, one is Jimmy Swagger and the other is Mark Driscoll. And the scripture very distinctly teaches us that we are not to accept messages that are preached or taught. According to 1 John 4:1, we are to try the spirits, because it says many false prophets or many false ministries have gone out into the world, not many. But our criteria when we examine is Isaiah 8:20, if they speak not according to my word, no light is in them. So what I do is I take their teachings and I put them up against the word of God, and it becomes quite evident that they're false teachers.
Yeah, the interesting thing is I found that that you're talking about Jimmy Swaggart. A few weeks ago I did get someone that gave me a death threat over my some of the programs that I had done about Jimmy Swaggart. And then last week, the Swaggarts had their attorneys send a threatening letter to an internet blogger. I don't know if you've ever heard from them, if they've sent you any threatening letters, but they threatened the web hosting service that put his website up, that they were going to sue them for allowing him to have his website with the criticisms of the Swaggarts.
Boy, aren't they just like Jesus when Jesus was crucified? Jesus didn't say a word when they were crucifying. And the Apostle Peter wrote and said this, if we suffer when we do wrong, we suffer graciously. That's what's the big deal. But if we've done the right thing and we suffer and we take it well, then we've begun to grow in grace. And I think that is the classic mark of what a false teacher will do. They will defend themselves. They won't let the Holy Spirit defend them because the Holy Spirit's not working with them, I don't believe. They'll defend themselves. And they totally ignore the scripture that says that we're not to go before the world in lawsuits.
It's quite
interesting, the hypocrisy of Jimmy Swaggart.
Yeah, well, that I thought it was quite interesting. And the man that has the website, he put up a page about Frances, something about her $5,000 pocketbooks, and yet they're always asking for donations for their ministry. But
well, that's a mark. Peter, in the book of Peter, talks about the mark of a false teacher is that they'll be covetous and that they'll always be seeking for money and they'll live a very greedy and covetous lifestyle. But the thing that I would, if I ever would have the opportunity, I'd like to debate them in my book, I have 12 major false doctrinal teachings that Jimmy Swaggart brings. And they're rather overwhelming, in my opinion. And the number one, I'll just touch them quickly, is the belief that Jimmy has more light on the meaning of the cross than the Apostle Paul. That is just absolute, complete nonsense, because the scriptures are, as it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, they are God-breathed. And when God breathes the scriptures, all scriptures for correction, doctrine, or reproof, he does not add. That is a classic mark of a false teacher. He will add light to what God has done. And then, of course, you begin to follow him, and he has a constant attack upon the Apostle Paul.
Now, one of the criticisms that I received was, where is the evidence that he even said that?
Well, I have a quote from that. It's right from his magazine in December 2004. I have it quoted right from the magazine.
Okay, so the magazine, The Evangelist.
Right. If you go in my book, I have the exact date and the pay. I think it's December 2004, but you have to look in the book to make sure.
Okay, then. All right, so John is backing up everything he says with direct quotes from Jimmy Swaggart. So we're not making anything up. He has said these things, and if you want to get a copy of John's book, and we'll tell you how in a few minutes, you can visit his website, and I'll put up a link. But you can check out his footnotes, because he has everything documented.
Yeah, I quote from his expositor's book. I hate to call it a Bible, but his expositor's quote-unquote Bible. I also have it from his book and my question about the Brother Swaggart, here's my question about the cross, and Brother Swaggart, here's my question about the Bible.
Yeah.
And there's even in the introduction of that one book, here it is right here. It says, in the introduction of Brother Swaggart, here's my question about the cross. You can write in the introduction, you can find this word, quote unquote, especially considering that this message is new to the church, referring to the cross, one can readily understand the reason for inquiries. And the message is not about the cross, is not new to the church. It's been with the church going back to, what a vain, ridiculous thing to say.
That is ridiculous. But
if anybody wants to read it, go. If you don't want to get my book, go to his book. Here's my question about the cross, and go into the introduction. You'll find it right there.
Okay. Let's take this caller. The other caller hung up. I couldn't get the other caller on. But anyway, caller, hello. Can't hear this caller either. I don't know why I'm having trouble. Callers, I apologize, but for some reason I cannot get these callers on the air. I guess it's a miracle that we're up on the air. But
it's the prince and power of the air is working against
yeah,
this program.
You,
this is not a surprise to me because I've dealt with a lot of things that have to do with swagger. It's amazing the things that will come against you.
Well, I was surprised. That was the first time I ever got a death threat from someone that was a fan of the Swaggers. I thought that was odd.
You'll find his followers are vicious. They are some of the most vicious people you've ever met. I had some that were in my church, and they were advocating that fornication was in the cross and all that. And when I very just stood against them and said it wasn't so, the trouble they made for me and make for me till this day.
Yeah, very, very odd. But anyway, there is a caller from area code 503. I have your mic on, but I can't hear you. So,
hello?
Yes, hello.
I'm just sitting here. I'm just listening to your show.
Okay.
I did not respond the first time. I didn't know you were talking
okay.
to me.
I thought that we were having a problem. Okay, let me take this other call. Area code 661. Hello? Area code 661.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. This is Vincent.
Hi, Vincent. Yeah, thank you for letting us know that we weren't on the air.
Yeah, I can't get you all through my headphones, but I can hear you through my computer, and I was wondering if you'd be able to hear me through my microphone. So I guess
yes, I can hear you, yeah.
Okay. I was just sitting there listening, you know.
Okay, then. Okay, so if you have a question, let us know.
Okay.
Okay, then. All right. All right, John. So you were going on with your 10 points.
There's at least, I can give you 12 measures. One, he says that Paul tried to live in Romans 7:9 says in his Expositor's Bible that Paul tried to live for God by his own strength by keeping the law. That is an absolute lie, because if you read in Acts chapter 9, 20 down through 23, after being baptized, Paul went into the synagogues and proclaimed Jesus, proclaimed them being free from the law, and they so threatened his life he had to be let over by a basket over a wall. There is everywhere you go, in Romans, Galatians, wherever you go, Paul constantly talks about the creation of a new man, how we're no longer under the law. So I don't know what he's talking about. There's no scripture citing that. Also, his whole idea where he says that Paul couldn't stop sinning, which is absolutely, what a false doctrine. One of the beautiful things, I love 1 John 5:18, and there's a number of places we could address. But in his Expositor's Bible, Romans 7:15, where he says that Paul can't stop sinning. And if you go into the Expositor's Bible, that's where he states
okay,
that.
Okay, then.
And one of the amazing things is it says in 1 John 5:18, I hope I quote it exactly, but it says this, that those who are begotten of God are born again, sin not, and the wicked one touches them not. It says, the scripture talks in so many places about how we are set free from sin. I know this before I met Jesus, I was bound in sin, but I thank God today that he has set me free from sin. Romans 6, 12 through 14 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. When I got born again, I stopped sinning. Before I was born again, I couldn't help but sin. But I thank God that he has set me free from that. That's another one of his. False teachers always attack Paul. Another one of his false doctrines is that the cross is the object of our faith. Come on. Faith is...
I think I've heard him say that, yeah.
Yeah, that can be found in... that can also be found... I have all these places documented in the book. The cross is a new revelation. We already touched that one. That's another one of his false teachings. There's another... I mean, he has so many of them. I think the one that astonishes me is the one he writes about concerning the will of God.
Uh-huh.
I think we may have even touched this one in a past... but he actually says this on page 279 of Brother Swagger, How Can I Understand the Bible?
Okay.
He says this, in praying about this station, I once again said, Lord, we want this station if it be your will. And the Lord spoke to my heart very forcibly and said, don't use that terminology anymore. When you say if it be your will, you are hindering your faith and thereby hindering me from doing what I want to do. He said, now change your praying and say, Lord, I claim the station for the glory of God. Now, according to the scriptures, and then he goes on another thing. He says, if you pray for God's will to be done, you're a double-minded man. I'm going to read right directly from his book. This is his quote. Forever prefacing our petition with the words, if it be your will, puts us into the position of being a double-minded man. Now, according to the scripture, I guess Jesus was a double-minded man because in Luke 22:42, he says, Father, if it be your will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So Jesus taught us wrong. He didn't, Jimmy had to help Jesus along because he didn't know. And James 4:13-16, he tells us, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. That's like Jimmy was talking about gaining his radio station. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's a vapor. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. So that was not the Holy Spirit speaking to Jimmy Swaggart, saying that we're basically whatever we claim is the will of God. That to me is like becoming a little God.
Yeah, absolutely.
The double-minded man, if you pray for God's will. False. You're a baby Christian if you pray for God's will. That's also in the book and quotes directly from him. Another one that gets me is if you go into the one about that we are not to pray to Jesus.
Oh.
That is another really strange teaching of him. He says, now, it's from Brother Swagger, How Can I Understand the Bible? And I'm going to quote. I won't quote everything I have recorded in the book, but it says this. This means that this is a quote, that we should not pray directly to the Holy Spirit, neither should we pray directly to Jesus, but rather to the Father in Jesus' name. If Christ had to pass on our petition to the Father, this would mean the cross of Christ was not a finished work. But yet, of course, we know there was a very confused disciple by the name of Stephen that was stoned to death and was the reason Paul, I believe, was called into the ministry. In Acts 7:59-60, they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So Stephen was a baby Christian that was, I guess, praying to Jesus. He didn't have the revelation of the cross that Jimmy had.
Oh.
There's always this arrogance with him.
Yeah.
There's always an arrogance with him. Here's another one. The cross and faith are the same. That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
There is where faith touches the cross, and cross can be a part of it, but that's two totally different things. Faith is what frameworks our spirit man, our inner man, to the heavenly realm. It frameworks us to the throne. The cross is the door kind of that we come through, but we are, again, we're not to put our faith in the cross.
No.
Not at all. We put our faith in him. And then the last one I touch is that he calls the great falling away the rapture. And,
wow.
Oh, yeah. That in the book, if you get the book, it's found on page 3940 in my book where I just quote directly from his expositor's study Bible. And I even went and did some extra work in this. Let me read what his expositor Bible says, which,
okay.
By the way, for everybody listening, his expositor's Bible is in red letters, and the words of Jesus have been put in black. Again, that's like when Jesus, he says he's preached more than Jesus, has more light than Paul, He has a brand new doctrine to the church. This is classic false teacher. But let me read from the expositors. Let no man deceive you by any means. In other words, don't listen to that which is scripturally incorrect. He should have listened to himself. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And he has in parentheses, should have been translated, for that day shall not come, except there come a departure first. This speaks of the rapture. Now, if you go into the Greek word, it's for that falling away, is apostasia. I have a friend who's a Christian who teaches Greek. That's what he teaches Greek. And I called him up, and I asked him to read it to me in the Greek and verify it. And he says, and I have this in the book as well. He says, apostasia means, apos means to stand away from and stand against.
Yeah.
So the church falling away from God and standing against it, as Jimmy Swaggart is doing, he's calling that the rapture. That's just very briefly, just some major false teaching from Jimmy Swaggart.
That is really amazing.
Yeah, and if you get my book, everything is documented. Everything will tell you where to go in the Expositor's Bible, the understanding of the cross, understanding the Bible book, and you can go to the pages and you can read it for yourself and draw your own conclusion.
Now, would you please tell people where they can get your book? We have another half hour, but if you wanted to get a copy of John's book, it's very well done, very well documented, and he'll tell you how you can get a copy.
I always feel awkward with this, but you go to treeoflifechristianfellowship.net.
Okay.
And then you go to the bookstore, and then there's a number of books there that you can I think I have 8 books up now. But
okay.
You just find that particular book, and you can order that particular book through www.treeoflifefellowship.net. And there you can get all the information. Go to the bookstore, and it will give you all the information. We'll put you on our newsletter list, and et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. And most people don't know these things. They turn on what they think is a Christian ministry on television, and, of course, to get on television, it's very, very expensive to even get there. So when people see these ministries or so-called ministries on TV, it somehow in their mind it makes them believable because, after all, here they are on television. And they must have some kind of success because they've made it this far to be able to afford airtime. But I know that it's very hard for some people to accept these facts about Jimmy Swaggart. But the Bible says that we should always check everything out with the Word of God, no matter who the teacher is. And if it doesn't line up with God's Word, then we have to throw it out. We can't believe it. We can't. We shouldn't be listening to it. And we should always go back to God's Word. But you have also talked about Mark Driscoll, which I think many people probably aren't really familiar with him as they are with Jimmy Swaggart. But can you explain a little bit about Mark Driscoll and who he is?
Yes, and again, to reiterate and reaffirm what you've said, we need to know 1 John 4:1 and try the spirits, because many false prophets. Success and how big a quote-unquote ministry is has nothing to do with it. We have to try the spirit, try the message. When you try the spirit that tells Jimmy Swaggart not to pray for God's will, you know that's the wrong spirit. And also Isaiah 8:20, if they speak not according to my word, no light is in them. Now, Mark Driscoll is, to me, this guy is one of the most dangerous people that is out there. Very, very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. How I first became acquainted with him is we had someone who used to be in our church many years ago sent a message, sent on the Facebook, I think it was, to my wife and said, there's a great message from this church that's running like 900, 1,000 people using all the techniques of the purpose-driven life, and which it will work in attracting people, but it doesn't attract God. But anyhow, they were talking about, oh, we have this wonderful message. So my wife, they sent it to us, and we sat down to listen to it. And here was a pastor of a full gospel church of a major denomination was telling us, and just to make it short, that the Bible was a book all about sex. And that there was a one of the books
Mark,
in the Bible.
Now, Mark Driscoll was saying this, correct?
Yes. Well, this guy was copying Mark Driscoll. And so when I discovered, I thought to myself, how on earth did somebody come up with this, that the Bible is a book all about sex? In fact, the Bible is a spiritual book. And so
That is perverted.
It is very perverted. And so what I did is I began to discover, so I met someone who was kind of getting sucked into this, and I discovered Mark Driscoll. And I discovered that he had written a book called Porn Again. Yes. And when you consider that the Word of God is God-breathed, the term porn again is a perversion of the term born again, which is how we're going to heaven. And right off the bat, it shows you that this man is a blasphemer, taking the words of Jesus Christ and perverting them. Now, I also began to discover that he was a friend with Rick Warren. Rick Warren is a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, the same member that Hillary Clinton
is. Oh, he is a member of the Council.
He's a member of, yes, he is.
Oh.
He's a member of the same thing that Hillary Clinton. That's why Hillary Clinton speaks to this church, to standing ovations. And that's why recently Hillary Clinton has said this, just about, quote, I'm reporting back to the mothership, to the New York, to the Council of Foreign Relations, and we're happy to see that with the borders coming down, it makes our job easier in building a global government. So he is, I believe that he is a global government plant.
Yeah, he's a plant, right.
I believe he's a plant. And Rick Warren talks about, Rick Warren's like a snake. He has a forked tongue. He knows how to talk evangelical jargon to the evangelicals, and then he talks a whole other talk to the UN and the homosexual community.
Oh, he would have to.
And he absolutely affirms that I have personally heard him say, I've seen him on the Sean Hannity show on television, talk about his homosexual and lesbian church members. A homosexual or lesbian cannot be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, because in order to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, you have to be born again. And if you're born again, that life of sin is going to pass away, away from you. So what you find with this Mark Driscoll, when I went on to, here was a minister that was propagating him one day up on the internet, and we tried to warn this particular person. It was actually a lady minister about Mark Driscoll, and she just was perpetuating him to other ministers. So what I did is I sent over a chapter on Born Again, which I would be embarrassed to repeat the name of the chapter, what it is. I don't think most of the stuff that he writes, I would be embarrassed to repeat. I had a tough time writing down the stuff that he says in his books. And
I think he was even a guest. I think I saw him on what used to be the Larry King program on CNN talking about this. I didn't listen to him, but I think he was talking about this book.
Oh, he goes on The View, that blasphemous group of hens. And he goes all over the place. He's very welcome in the world, so to speak. But I believe you can find what he's a fulfillment of this. It says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. Now, let me give you a couple of his, in my book, on one of the things he does, he terribly mocks the virgin birth. And I don't know if you want me to quote from him. I will be very happy to quote directly from his books and his sermons, but I would warn everybody, this is going to be brutal. I'm going to put it in your hands, whether you want that or not. How's that?
Well, I think one or two quotes.
All right. Now, don't be mad at me, all right?
I won't be mad. But I think people need to know what he's saying. And
okay, here's a quote from...
We won't, just two or, you know, one or two quotes is enough, but you'll get the idea.
Right.
So please don't be offended, people, but this is a man Mark Driscoll is the man we're talking about, and he claims to be a Christian. And so, go ahead.
I'm going to give you, I'll give you two quotes from him, all right?
Okay.
All right, quote, unquote, Jesus' mom was a poor, unwed teenage girl who was often mocked for claiming she conceived by the Holy Spirit. There's no evidence of that in the scripture. Most people thought she concocted the crazy story to cover the fact she was knocking boots with some guy in the backseat of a car at the prom. Mark Driscoll from his book, Vintage Jesus. I'll give you one more from his book, Radical Reformation, referring to Mary. And this is, now there's no biblical evidence of this, of course. Jesus has a mom who everyone thinks is a slut, a dad whom they think has the brilliance of a 5-watt light bulb for believing the virgin birth line, and the brothers who likely pummel him frequently because even God would have to even get one wedgie from his brother if he were to be fully human. This guy is a pig. He calls in his book, and I document all this from the books, and he calls... You said, I know you're probably in shock, and I don't know if
I am. I am, because I didn't know that he actually said these things. I had seen him several times. Is his church called Mars Hill?
It's a Mars Hill. It's booming.
It's a booming church.
It's a booming church. I could read to you why. Why he preaches on, he turns the Song of Solomon into an X-rated book, and he turns everything into lasciviousness. He is a fulfillment of Jude. Let me give you a couple other things. He calls the creation of God in Genesis where the good comedy begins. That's blasphemy.
What?
That's what he calls it, where the good comedy begins, blasphemy. Jeremiah, he says, is crying like a beauty queen. Blasphemy again. Jeremiah was a beloved, beloved prophet who wept over the demise of Israel going into Babylon. He calls his worship leader a manly dude who brews his own beer. And I think we need to remember Proverbs 20, verse number 1, that wine is
a mocker.
And then...
Drunk is raging.
Yeah, and there's
sounds
another...
Sounds like he's spending a little... it's time... strong on some strong drink to talk like that. This is,
I don't know,
perverted.
If you want me to read
this
one
is
more.
So perverted.
He's a pervert.
And I can't believe that people are flocking to this so-called church. And then his book, I think, is a bestseller.
Oh, he's sickening. May I read one more quote to you, if I dare?
Yes.
I assumed the students and singles were all pretty horny, so I went out on a limb and preached through the Song of Songs. Each week I extolled the virtues of foreplay, marriage, oral sex, sacred stripping, and sex outdoor, just as the book teaches. I have a book called The Revelation of
the... He was actually preaching this?
This is his word from his books. And I recently did a book on the revelation of the mystery of the gospel where I feature a lot of the Song of Solomon. I never saw any of that in there.
No,
I found
it's
the Song
not
of
there.
Solomon is about beautiful worship of the Lord Jesus
yes.
Christ.
Yes.
Now, then he goes to say, this helped us a lot because apparently a pastor using words like penis and oral sex is unusual. And before you could say aluminum pole in the bedroom, attendance began to climb steadily to more than 200 people a week. That this guy is, I call him and Rick Warren, because they each preach each other's churches. I call them the Porky and Elmer. They're two pigs, is exactly what they are. Now, and I'm going to read to you in 1 Peter 1:14. It says this. I was in 2 Peter. 1 Peter 1:14. And forgive me for reading this. I'm laying on the line. This man's a Southern Baptist. And I think the Southern Baptists should be ashamed of themselves. They're a disgrace.
He is still a member of the Southern Baptists?
At the time, I haven't followed up exactly, but he was a member of Southern Baptists, as Rick Warren is a member of the Southern Baptists in good standing. That fellowships with the guy down in Atlanta. I know people are uncomfortable when you call names out, but how these Southern Baptists can compromise the gospel with these kind of people?
No, this is ridiculous. Anyway, you know what? Anybody that's listening today, please call the Southern Baptist Convention, their headquarters, wherever it is, and let your voice be heard. These people need to be disfellowshipped. Otherwise, forget the Southern Baptists.
Yeah, well, one of their ministers, Ed Young, he took the teachings of Mark Driscoll, and him and his wife, he wrote a book about
he put a bed up on top of the roof of his church.
Yeah, and he said he used for the inspiration John and Yoko Ono when they were sleeping naked to end the Vietnam War. You know, I don't condemn John and Yoko Ono because they were in darkness.
They didn't know any better.
They didn't know it. I mean, they were wrong. But for this guy, this is where his inspiration comes from. A man who wrote Imagine No Boundaries Between Countries, Imagine No Religion, wrote one of the biggest New Age One World Government songs in history and had a horrible death. And this is where he's gaining his inspiration from. It says here, and 1 Peter 1:13-14.
Yeah.
Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts that were yours in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now, I don't know how much time do we have left, because I want to bring this to something good.
We have about 15 minutes, so go ahead.
All right. And let me ask you, do you have any questions at all to this point?
I'm in shock. I'm in total shock. It's like every day you hear something new and you just cannot believe that people are actually doing these kind of things, you know, and they claim to be doing it in the name of Jesus, and it's so destructive. And I'm just so grateful, you know, that you wrote this book and that you're exposing it, because hopefully many, many thousands of people will be helped.
I'm not promoting me. I'm not promoting the ministry. I don't believe in promotion. But I do think that this book would be very, very valuable for people to equip themselves with what we're facing today. Because actually, Mark Driscoll has worse stuff than this.
I'm in tears right now because
it makes me want to cry too.
It's very, very sad that the so-called church has come to this, and no one should be upset with knowing the truth and to take time to read the documentation, especially that John has done and spent many hours to bring this information out.
I'm going to say this. If my phone happens to die, because it's been up for an hour here, I will call you back on my cell phone if it happens to die. I think I hear it beeping.
Hope it doesn't die.
We're going to trust the Lord. See, the enemy doesn't. The enemy wants the seduction in the Christian church.
We're seeing it. You know, we're seeing it. How far down have people gone into deception? Every day I hear something new, and I can't believe what I'm hearing today, because I didn't know this.
You'll notice all these antichrists, they always belittle Jesus.
Yes.
You don't pray to Jesus. Jimmy Swaggart, you don't pray to Jesus. There's always a belittling of the Lord Jesus. I've preached more than Jesus.
Yeah.
The belittling of his virgin birth. Calling him, Mark Driscoll calls him a bartender because he turned the water into wine. That's one of his mockeries. All this is documented in my book, by the way. And he is really a full class, first class. He's just, I feel bad that I even have to.
He's a reprobate. He's a reprobate.
I feel bad that I even have to. This is not something I want to speak, to tell you the truth, because I love preaching and teaching the preeminence of the Lord Jesus. But I've actually had people that are involved in this. They will come against you, come against the church, do everything possible to destroy. There is a demonic spirit. spirit that works with these people, and I have no doubt on it.
Yes, yeah, so very, very true, and they have very strong defenders, but we know that greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. And the Lord Jesus told us to rebuke and to correct with all long-suffering. And we want people to know the truth, because it's so easy to be deceived and to be drawn in by these false teachers.
I know people in the world that wouldn't be deceived by Mark Driscoll.
No, they wouldn't. You're absolutely right, because I have to agree with you there 100%. I think some people that were probably watching him on the CNN probably thought, this is a nut. You know, what does that have to do with Christianity? Of course, they would say that. And
of course they do, but I think I noticed why is he getting all this favor in the world? Because he's of the same spirit.
Yeah, he's of
that's
the
why they're not going to put you and me up and talk about the greatness of Jesus and calling repentance and naming
out
sin.
I wish they would, but I would love to see you on a program with Mark Driscoll. You know, I would love to see you be able to challenge him.
He is sickening. He is really one of the most sickening people I've ever seen. Well, let's talk a little bit about what does God have to do with his church? Obviously, in the last days, obviously the Bible says there's going to be great falling away. It's going to start within the ministry. It's going to start within the ministry. Men will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The falling away, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 3, it's going to be the same spirit that came upon Judas, and Judas betrayed Jesus to a world government.
Yeah.
And in the world government was a church world that knew who Jesus was. Caiaphas and all of them, they knew who Jesus was, because Jesus fulfilled the four signs of a Messiah to them. And the four signs of a Messiah being healing a leper. The first time he healed a leper, he said, go show the priesthood. The second being casting a demon out of one that is a deaf and dumb spirit. When he did that, they were always looking for that. They looked for that in John the Baptist. They started saying that Jesus was of the devil when he did that. Raising a man from the dead after 4 days. When they did that, they wanted to kill him and Lazarus as well. And then the fourth spirit, opening up the eyes of a man born blind, which he did when he created eyes from the dust and breathed on him, and the man saw. And they threw him out of the temple. Now, the Pharisees said this. They said, we know that basically, I'll put a little flow on it here. Basically, they said, we know he's Messiah. He's done many marvelous works. What are we going to do? Because he's going to come and take away our place from the global government of Rome. And that's why they had Jesus crucified. And who did they find within the church? They found the apostates, found those who were going apostate, who were betraying. And what that apostasy has to do with, it has to do with the removal of the Word of God and the removal of these truths. I'm going to go quick because our time is short. If you read in 2 Kings 17:6, you read about the king of Assyria. He takes away two things from the Hebrew temple, the brass altar and the brass laver. What does that represent? That represents the cross, and it represents the brass laver where the priest would wash, represents the word of God. There are shadows and types of those types of things. That was taken away by the Assyrians, and what happened immediately after that? The 10 tribes were carried away to Assyria, and the land of the 10 tribes were repeopled by the Assyrian people, who later became known as the Samaritans. That's why the Jews had no dealings with them, where Jesus talks to the woman at the well. Then the second part of the temple being taken away was 2 Kings 24:15-16, when the golden candlestick, which represents the church, the table of presence bread, the golden altar of incense, the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, all those places where they would meet with God, that was taken away to Babylon. Now, what happened before that was taken away? You find two things that took place. God had a revival with Josiah, where they returned to the Word of God. But immediately after Josiah, his son Jehoiakim did what before Jeremiah? He burned up the scriptures. He cut away the scriptures of Jeremiah that said Babylon was coming, and burned up the scriptures. Go into your average church today with your average churchgoer carrying an NIV Bible. Matthew 18:11. You'll find that Jesus coming to seek and save the lost is completely removed.
Yeah.
Luke 4:4.
Yeah, so
now
it.
See, man is not lost, so Jesus doesn't have to seek us. Luke 4:4. Same thing as in Jehovah's Witness Bible. Man shall not live by bread, in which we move, like in the authorized versions. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Yeah.
Philippians 2, 5, and 6, Jesus doesn't know he is God. And we can go on and on. Philippians 2, 5, and 6, King James, he did not think robbery to be with God. He did not think robbery to be equal with God.
But they change it and put him lower.
In the NIV, it says he does not consider equality with God something to be grasped.
Yes.
See, so
yes.
they remove fasting and praying. I could go on and on and on, but I won't because of our limited amount of time. So with the removal of the Word of God, that is when the spirit of Antichrist energizes, and that's always what happens before the whole church goes down. But God does not abandon his plan, and his plan is always to bring the light of the glorious gospel to the nations. And you find that God works with a holy remnant, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he gives them three death sentences: the death sentence of the food supply, the death sentence of the global idol, and the death sentence of praying in resurrection life. And those same three things are for the church today. Now, let me, in a limited time, quickly go as fast as I can. What was the first thing that they tried to give the children of Israel? They tried to give them the food supply of Babylon.
Yeah.
And they refused it. And that's in Daniel chapter 1. Then you find in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar is visited with the dream about the great Gentile idol, which is of descending value. It starts with a head of gold, then the arms of silver, less value, then the hips of brass and thighs, less value, to iron, and then down to clay. And then it is destroyed by the rock. You see, the whole concept of man being God is destroyed. And are we still there?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure my phone didn't die.
I'm listening. I'm trying to take it all in.
Okay, so that was the first death sentence. They refused to eat the food of Babylon, and the Lord made them to look fairer to the place where they could come interpret to Nebuchadnezzar what God was going to do. They were bringing the gospel to the Gentile nations because the rock was going to come and crush the Gentile nations. Revelation 13 talks about the beast that comes out of the sea is going to be crushed by the Lord. The one that comes to make war on those who have been purchased by his blood, praise God, the blood of the Lamb shed from before the foundations of the world. The second death sentence is when they were required to bow to the Babylonian global government idol. Now, we know, of course, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't do it for a second, and they met Jesus in that death sentence in the fire, and they came forth with not so much as a smell of hell or smoke upon them. And that's how God dealt with it. The third thing he did with Nebuchadnezzar is when he took his mind away and turned him into a lycanthrope.
Yeah.
It actually says a werewolf.
Yeah.
And then what did Nebuchadnezzar end up proclaiming? He proclaimed through their two death sentences, he made the proclamation that the God of Israel is the God of all nations. He's God in heaven and God in earth. So the remnant brought the true message despite the conspiracy of the prophets had brought Israel's calling down and caused God to put them to sleep, as Paul writes about in Romans chapter 11, that they've been put to sleep, only awakened for the time of the end. Now, when you go into Persia, now when you come to Persia, and what happens with Daniel, he is called to not pray, and he ends up praying, and what happens? Out of his prayer, the Persians come to recognize that the Lord is God of all the earth, particularly also through the book of Esther. That comes to where even the Persians even want to become Jews. So God, through a remnant like Esther, God through a remnant like Haggai, God through a remnant like Nehemiah, Ezra, God through a remnant like Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego, when the great majority had apostatized, God had a remnant that held to his testimony. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 8 tells us this. that the Lord is going to preserve a church to him that is going to be blameless, who hold the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we dealt with that when we had chatted last time.
Yeah.
But I think I spit it all out. I don't know if there's any other questions. This is just a brief overview.
I'm telling you, that was wonderful. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. That's all
praise
I can
Jesus.
Say is I have learned so much today. And I'm dumbstruck in with this whole thing with Mark Driscoll. I didn't know it was so bad, and I'm just so grateful to the Lord that we've been able to have you today, and to be able to do these programs, because truly we God wants people to come out of this. And I know Vincent, he said, today's show has been a shock to my system. And I feel the same way, because I am really in shock, because it's so degrading. When we think of what the Lord Jesus has done for us, we can never, never thank him enough for what he's done to give us a new life, and for people to tear it down and to degrade the gospel.
Jesus is not a bartender. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yes,
he's not a bartender. And there's no evidence, Mr. Mark Driscoll, in the scripture that people mocked Mary because that whole description is just blasphemous to the utmost.
Horrible. Horrible. I just happened to take this quick call. We just have about a minute or so left. Hello, caller.
Hi, I just tuned in. I listen to you a lot of Saturdays, but I just turned in today. I'm in California, so I've missed much of this. But I have been concerned about Mark Driscoll for some time. How do we pray for people who are blinded by not just his teaching, but the teaching of others? It seems that everywhere around me there is such a great falling away of people who think that they're still pursuing the Lord, but are caught up in these teachings of these people that are not walking with God.
Go ahead, John.
Well, I'm going to make a recommendation. I'm not trying to sell books in this. All right, it's not. I will send books to people for free. That's not the issue. But I have a book called The Last Great Falling Away. And that is a book. In fact, I'm going to make sure I quote this correctly to you. I have a book. It's called The Uncrucified Church World, The Great Falling Away, and The Bone Pile. That could be a very helpful book. I also have a book called The Revelation of the Mystery of the Gospel that talks about what God calls the church to be. I have one where it identifies what it is. It identifies the great falling away. And I have a book called The Real Anointing, the Seven Spirits of God, and the Overcoming Church. And that addresses what we have to overcome. Those three books address the falling away, how we're to overcome it, and what we're to be. And also this new book on the conspiracy of the prophets, where you get his quotes directly. And always the best thing to do is I give the quotes to the people, and then I remember 1 John 4:1 and Isaiah 8:20. And I say to them, look, the Bible says there's going to be many false ministries. And the only way we can know if it's true or not is if they speak according to the word. Can you say that Mark Driscoll calling Jesus a bartender, is that speaking according to the word? That's what I give them. And if they want to hang on to them after two or three admonitions, I reject them, because you're wasting your time after that.
Yeah. This John, give your website. I think it's a great idea to get the book or go online and look up some of the quotes from Mark Driscoll and present these things, present the evidence to people that are following him. They cannot deny the words that have come out of his own mouth.
They're quotes right from his book, and if they agree with it, then you have to say they're either apostates or they're falsely converted. But the website is www.treeoflifefellowship.net. And then when you get there, go to the bookstore. And please, I'm not trying to sell books. I'm just trying to equip folks.
Yes, absolutely. We understand that. I always appreciate people that write books that take the time to do research, and I think a workman is worthy. So the books are there to help you. You don't have to do as much research and spend hundreds of hours or thousands of hours doing the research that someone has already done. And obviously, John Murray has done his research, and he is a pastor there in Nanticoke, PA, and he's a shepherd after God's own heart, truly. And John, I want to thank you so much, and thank you, caller. We're going to pray before we hang up. John, go ahead and pray for the listeners.
Okay. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this precious show, and I thank you for the precious people called in, that lady that just called in, and for the different ones, oh Lord God. Lord, I pray, oh Lord God, that you will make us strong. Bring us to churches, oh Lord God. Build churches, oh Lord, that hold the testimony of Jesus that you will preserve unto that day. I thank you that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. I thank you for the testimony of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Haggai, Nehemiah, Ezra, and those who withstood the great falling away and brought nations to their knees. Oh God, let it be such a testimony in us. Bless each one, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our glorious and high Lord, King of kings, Lord of lords, potentate, worthy of the highest praise beyond our expression. And we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on today, John. And
it was purely my high, high privilege. I'm very grateful to have the opportunity.
I am, too, because I think so many people will really be ministered to today. And thank you so much. We'll be talking again soon.
Okay. God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye. And I want to thank everybody that called in and everybody that listened today. Truly, if this show didn't bring some tears to your eyes, I don't know what's wrong with you, really. But I can't believe some of the things that I heard. And that anybody that would actually proclaim that they know the Lord Jesus Christ could say such things that have been said, such as Mark Driscoll and Jimmy Swaggart. But I just want to pray for everyone out there today that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, that you can ask him to come into your life. You can ask him to forgive you of your sins, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we have one that laid down his life for us, and he can give us a new life. And you must be born again. First, you're born of your mother, but then you must be born of the Spirit of God. And get your Bible out and read the Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter, and ask the Lord Jesus to reveal himself to you. And he will. He will forgive you and give you a brand new life. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.